You and I back together again, chatting it up Tuesday, March the 5th, 2024 on Connecticut Today. We featured a chat with Stonington GOP State Rep Greg Howard, who's also a police officer, on a call for a crackdown on reckless drivers by the Connecticut State Police. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio stopped by to brief us again on a big environmental bill being unveiled at the state capitol. Joining us right now, we've had this gentleman on before, State Rep Greg Howard, representing the State's 43rd General Assembly District, primarily Ledyard, North Stonington, and Stonington. Greg is a career civil servant. He's actually an active duty police officer in the eastern part of the state. Great to have him on. Hey, Greg, it's Paul here again, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Greg. Great to have you on. I love chatting with you previously, and I want to chat with you about, you know, Greg, I know something that you'll be able to speak to here. This announcement, Greg, by the state that there's going to be a little bit more of a crackdown now on the sickos that think that the state's roadways are their own personal drag strip or Formula One strip out there. And I'm at least, Greg, and you're the ranking member on public safety, so you can talk a little about this. The situation out there is just on some nights, Greg, when I drive home, it's just out of control. So you heard from the governor. We heard from the public safety commissioner. What are your thoughts on this? What do you think is going to be done? And from your point as a law enforcement officer, what needs to be done?
Well, so first of all, Paul, thanks for having me on. And my first thought was, well, it's about time. You know, I've been calling attention to this since the beginning of 2022. And I pushed numbers out, pulled numbers out during a public safety hearing on February 23rd of last year, where we were able to reveal through state statistics at a public hearing, 366 people lost their lives on Connecticut roadways in 2022. Just while I'm on the numbers, something like 320 something in 2023, and we're over 50 so far in 2024. We're on a real dangerous trajectory, and those are record numbers. But what else came out in that public hearing and the numbers that I've been calling attention to now for a few years is the traffic enforcement on our roads is significantly down. What do I mean by significant? Well, if you take trending numbers through 2019 around the state and then you compare them to 2022, you saw a 50% reduction in traffic stops. So where there's no enforcement, there's going to be no compliance. Where there's no compliance, there's going to be fatal crashes, and that's coming to fruition now on the highways in the state of Connecticut. And, you know, we I should tell you, those statistics, the state police are actually down 65% comparing 2019 to 2022. So there's a lot of reason.
Yeah, Greg, is there a palpable fear among the uniformed men and women of local police and state police saying, hey, I've got all these, you know, we have all these regulations now, despite my gut instincts on this, I just don't want to do this stop. Is that where we're at now?
Yeah, I think that low morale plays a big part of it. You know, I think if you were to, you know, pull 100 CEOs and say, hey, if you for 3 years disparage your entire workforce, you know, what happens to your productivity? I think 100 of them will tell you my productivity is going way down. And that's what we're seeing. And we can't lose track of the fact that law enforcement officers are human beings. That's something that we seem to lose track of in Hartford. You know, they're these, you know, I've heard them called jackbooted thugs. I've heard them called boogeymen. But they're human beings. They're moms and dads and brothers and sisters, et cetera. And they have the same instincts and same natural tendencies at times that most human beings do. So if you're going to disparage them for 3 years, you can't expect that their morale is going to be high and their motivation is going to be high. And, you know, I point to so folks say to me, well, that's their job. They should be made to go out and do their job. Well, here's the issue. Quotas are illegal and for good reason, right? And the former commissioner of the state police last in July told us that they changed their performance reviews so that the amount of traffic stops a trooper conducts is no longer considered in his performance review. Now, I tell you this because the state police in the state of Connecticut has boxed themselves out of forcing troopers to make car stops, so they need to rely on the officer's self-initiated activity, which comes through personal motivation and comes through morale. We have got to get the morale of law enforcement in this state back on track, and I don't blame the troopers for their low morale. I don't blame their troopers for it at all. I mean, if you look at what's going on in this state in the last 3 years, right? When I got troopers and police officers say to me, well, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we go out every single day and we have a legislature in the state of Connecticut that excuses and supports criminals while they villainize us day after day. And they say things like police accountability back in 2020, that we legalized marijuana but told our police officers, if you see somebody smoking marijuana while driving, you can't pull them over for it. We hacked out consent searches. We limit interrogation tactics. We've minimized the effects of juvenile crime. We've erased criminal records under clean slate. We've undercut bond as we know it. We commuted six sentences in the years leading up to 2022. And in 2022, we commuted 71 sentences, 43 of them are murderers. This is the message that we're sending to law enforcement, Paul, and the list goes on.
No,
so when you look at these,
yeah.
When you look at these guys and girls that go out to do a job every day and you wonder why their morale's in the tank, I don't wonder at all. I think it's clear we need to make a change. We need to pivot. We need to pivot soon.
Greg, I was parked at a local mall in the Milford area about 6 or 8 months ago. I had gone in, did a little shopping, came out. So before I started moving my vehicle, I was checking my email, and a guy gets in a car next to me, nice car, 300 series Mercedes-Benz, right? And I'm kind of looking at him out the corner of my eye, you know, as your eye wanders. And before the guy pulled away, Greg, he lights up a joint. And look, I knew it was a joint. It wasn't a cigarette, all right?
Right.
Look,
yeah.
I'm a man of the world, I think. I know what goes on here. And right. He took a couple, three hits on a joint, waited to pick up his girlfriend who got in the car, a little hug and kiss. Oh, here, honey, here's the joint. And he drives away. Now, I know you were quoted, I think, in the Hartford Current a couple of days ago, Greg, as saying one of the problems you have as an officer and the other officers around the state have is the restrictions you have. Or what you can
right.
and can't do if you
right.
think somebody's operating a vehicle smoking a joint.
Yeah, well, I mean, the legislation that passed is very clear. It says it's illegal, right, to smoke marijuana while driving a vehicle. However, if it's observed by a police officer, he's prohibited from pulling you over for that. I mean, it makes no sense.
And
these are the things that we do in this state, Paul. We have decided in the last 3 years that we are going to take the term accountability and make it synonymous with restriction, right? But we need to delineate those two things. Police accountability is when you hold a police officer accountable when he or she does it incorrectly. That's accountability. Taking the improper actions of maybe one person and using that as an excuse to restrict thousands of others from doing their job lands you exactly where we are today, with fatalities on our highways that are completely avoidable, totally unnecessary, and quite frankly, tragic.
And Greg, finally, do I keep reading, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're still about 300 troopers short on the state police staffing levels, which I guess are etched in law, and this has been a problem for a while, right?
Oh, it's a big problem. So I meet with, by nature of my position as ranking member of public safety, I meet with police organizations coming into the session, and I met with three of them, in particularly two of them were police chiefs. All three of them independently in separate meetings use the word crisis mode as far as recruitment and retention. We are in crisis mode because nobody wants to come forward and be a police officer, Paul. And I'll tell you this. I get asked all the time. I run to people and they say, thank you for what you do. I don't know why anybody would want to be a police officer in this state today. I thank you for showing up every single day. And I will say that to any police officer listening. Thank you for continuing to show up because I understand as well as anybody what you're up against. I do the job and I fight these things in Hartford every single day as they try to knock our police officers down time and time again. But I will tell you that police officers operate, police departments have minimum staffing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about traffic stops being down 50-60%, you know, we cannot pretend that prior to 2020, staffing was 50 or 60% above minimum. It wasn't. So it's not just staffing. It's an issue of morale. It's an issue of officers not feeling supported. And they don't want to go out and do a car stop and be the next one, you know, hung up on YouTube or with a politician at a podium saying that, you know, they didn't tighten their belt correctly or whatever the story may be. And you know, they, I don't blame them, and I understand where they're coming from, and it's high time that the governor's office and his party in Hartford make a pivot from what they've done for the last 3 years and say, you know what, enough is enough, and we got to start supporting these guys before we lose any more lives unnecessarily.
All right. State Rep. Republican Greg Howard, 43rd House District, Ledyard and North Stonington, and Stonington, a state rep and an active duty law enforcement member for many years. Greg, keep up the fight as the ranking member there on public safety. You have the number, so anytime you need to let the folks know about something, don't hesitate to call, okay?
Great. Thanks so much, Paul. Have a great day.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks, Greg. Greg Howard, state rep, Republican, representing Ledyard, North Stonington, and Stonington. And for a couple of decades now, he's an active duty police officer in the eastern part of the state. There you go. Used to be an EMT. Very active in this community. It's that time of the week. About this time every Tuesday, Megan Portfolio checks in with us. She writes the Hartford Portfolio blog for the Yankee Institute and spends far too much time watching CTN. But it's all for a good cause. Megan, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Paul?
You're laughing because how much CTN did you watch today? Come on, be honest. Be honest.
Oh, you know, I was watching it for a little bit, but this union boss was making me so aggravated, I had to shut it off. And I'm like, I just need to focus on writing an article. And I'm trying to write a nice article about the government. So I couldn't have the negativity in my head while I was trying to actually write something nice.
Did you, like, try a little yoga and deep breathing to kind of calm yourself down? You know, were you doing that, or was it just too much what you saw? You had to turn it off.
I just shut it off. I'll catch up with it later. Thank goodness for YouTube and the fast forward button.
All right. Now, you've been looking into this, I guess, what you have dubbed the Green Monster Bill. This is a big bill of environmental initiatives. Now, we've been talking about this over the past couple, 3 weeks, but I guess more of it now, Megan, is in focus here. What have you been able to peel apart from this?
Yeah, so The information that I was reporting on the past few weeks was just stuff that I had got from different environmentalists, social media, and email subscriptions I'm on. And it must have been, you know, people like your listeners must have called and made a big stink about a lot of it, because the bill isn't as bad, but it's still bad.
Okay.
The one good thing is that they took out the mandate for all new construction and remodels to be all electric. So they changed it so that we just have to foot the bill for all state government buildings to be all electric with their new construction.
So wait, there was a mandate in there before they took it out that what, residential construction would have had to been all electric?
Yeah, that was what they wanted. Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't get to sit into these caucus meetings, which I'd love to be a fly on the wall, but that's what they wanted. Someone who had half a brain was probably like, this is not going to fly.
Yeah.
The we're already having trouble with the cars, which, by the way, some good news. It appears that the gas car ban's not going through this year.
Yeah.
So good job to your listeners and your callers for contacting their lawmakers.
Well, yeah. And again, and, you know, of course, you know, a lot of the leadership is pointing fingers. And Megan, you and I have been saying this for weeks. I've been saying this for weeks, people calling it. When you have, you know, like the chief engineer, the guy that does nothing but power calculations all day for Eversource, sitting up there saying, yeah, we need like 7 more power plants for this. And there's no plans for it. Like, is anybody surprised? Honestly? Really?
I know, but that's some good news. But here's the bad news.
Oh, boy.
So
all right.
The Green Monsters, they finally put a bill out. Now, this is obviously subject to change between now and if it ever actually hits the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
But it's House Bill 5004.
Okay.
There's a public hearing on Friday, and one of the things in here, it's so ridiculous. So the government established these benchmarks for where we need to be with the greenhouse gas emissions. And there's different years, like by 2030, we have to be at a certain level. They added another time frame in there, 2040, we have to be another level, all the way to 2050. Now, if we don't meet these benchmarks, this bill is going to let people sue anybody in order to get it to get down to these levels. So let's just say, for example, DEEP is telling us that the transportation sector is driving 40% of the greenhouse emissions. An environmentalist lawyer, I mean, who pick a whole list of people that they can go sue now, and now we're putting this into the courts, and now the courts are going to make precedence on going forward with all of this green stuff.
So
that's
who
really
would be
dangerous.
Who would be the plaintiffs in the lawsuit? Like a regular citizen?
It could be the state. It could be a business. It could be. I'm hoping, you know, the the lawmakers on the committee, I mean, they're going to ask questions. And so hopefully, you know, the Republicans and Democrats, whoever, starts asking some of these questions, because it is it's a real concern. We need to know what the legislative intent is on this. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping a lot of that's revealed. I will be watching that. Like, that is must-see TV for me on Friday.
All right. Megan Portfolio, the guest, the blog, of course, the Hartford Portfolio. She's looking into this omnibus kind of environmental bill. Now, who knows if this is actually going to get out of committee or pass or whatever, but it is up there, and you folks should know about this. What does the bill say, if anything, Megan, about natural gas? I mean, we get a lot of our electricity.
I'm glad you brought that up.
But now, I guess, all of a sudden, and I'm old enough to remember, hey, when natural gas was the clean alternative to oil and coal, and now what's the problem?
So now, so what they want to do is they want to have PURA, that the regulating authority, mm-hmm. open up a docket to explore ways to phase out natural gas. I know it doesn't sound like, oh, they're just looking at it. This is kind of a big deal. Over half of our electricity from our grid, actually. So this is beyond, like, no more gas stoves and that stuff. This is our actual grid is powered by more than 50% of natural gas.
Yeah.
So now you're looking at either blackouts or you're looking at the grid operators using coal, which is way less healthy.
No.
Or they're going to have to go to renewables. And, I mean, how many darn windmills. We don't even have any windmills really in operation. I mean, but how many windmills and how many solar panels are we going to need to make up for more than half of where our power is coming from? So that's really scary. And so, like I said, I know it doesn't sound very scary. It's like, oh, they're just looking at it. But no, they're looking at ways to phase it out. Like, they want it to go away. So we really need to keep watching that. One thing that I really, really wanted to highlight on this.
Sure.
In the Green Monster Bill, the first section declares a climate emergency.
Oh,
and this
boy.
Is where it gets shady.
Here we go.
So they specifically say, oh, the governor won't be able to use emergency powers in this declaration. Oh, okay, that makes me feel better. Fast forward to Bill SB 11, which specifically gives a sitting governor the right to declare a civil preparedness emergency over climate change. Now, what's interesting about this bill is they don't define climate change. So pick any definition you want. The governor, like this civil preparedness emergency, that's what the governor used during COVID. Shut down businesses, shut down schools, stay home, stay safe. I'm not saying Governor Lamont is going to be that extreme and say, oh, hey, it's, you know, a little bit warm today, or it's snowing in April, we're shutting the state down. But this is for any sitting governor. We don't know who's going to be sitting in that chair. We could have some real far leftist communist socialist sitting there that could shut us down. This type of government overreach is unacceptable. And, you know, Katie Dykes was asked about it by various legislators on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
And she initially said, hey, guys, pass legislation that reduces climate change, and we won't have to resort emergency powers. And then I was actually really impressed with Rep. Mashinsky. She's out of Wallingford, Democrat.
She,
environment's her jam. She was like, hey, you know, we may want to kind of define climate change. It's a little ambiguous. And Clady Dykes was just like, well, you know, I'll think about it. So this SB 11 is something you guys really, really need to look out for, because we've already been under civil preparedness emergencies and we're still digging our way out. We can't be the civil preparedness emergencies for, like, I don't know, sabotage. We're getting attacked.
Yeah, exactly. The Russians are coming. Here come the aliens. Yeah. That's
not that it's 60 degrees in February.
And again, and Megan Portfolio's a guest. You know, Megan, some people may be listening to us and saying, "Oh, what's the big deal?" No, the big deal is that whenever we have these declared emergencies, under many of those laws, Megan, and I'm sure people have asked you this too, under those laws, things can be done outside the regular legislative process, and that basically allows people who run departments and commissioners to run end arounds here, are getting away from people in the state house and the state senate who are elected by us, by people like you and me, to make the tough decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so baffling to me how someone goes through all the trouble to become elected official in the General Assembly, mm-hmm. you're a lawmaker, and you're handing over your powers over to the executive branch. Like, it's not supposed to work that way. It's, you know, supposed to be a balance, checks and balances. You're voluntarily handing over the power of your of the legislature over to a governor. Then why are you even running? Why are you even in the legislature? Why don't you run for an executive branch position? It makes no sense to me.
All right, go to the Yankee Institute website, check out the Hartford portfolio, the two bills that Megan says to be watching for, House Bill 5004 and Senate Bill 11, HB 5004, Senate Bill 11. Listen, Megan, we'll let you go. I know you're jonesing to get back to those.
That you fired me up, I have to now go back to nice Megan and do my nice article.
and then just before you go to bed, suck up a little more of that CTN there stuff. That'll be good for you. There you go.
Thanks, Paul.
There you go. Megan Portfolio. Megan, be good. We'll talk next week. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, there you go.